It's time to cross live to our colleagues at the BBC for a look at what's happening in the UK and surrounds. Welcome, Rich Preston. Great to have you back.
Good to be with you again, Clarence. Very interested in your Invisible People feature that you've got coming up. My holiday job before I went to university was working as a hospital porter and an orderly pushing patients around. And it's funny, I felt that when I put my porter's uniform on, I just became invisible to the doctors and nurses and visitors who I was working amongst. It was a really strange sensation. It stuck with me. I remember that very vividly.
But I'm sure not invisible to the patients, and I'm sure you were giving them great comfort in their time of need.
Guy, thank you.
Yeah, we're gonna start off in UK. There's a hearing taking place this week, and it's about whether Britain could be deemed to be breaking international law by sending arms to Israel. What's happening there, Rich?
Yeah, this is a really interesting one, Clarence. This is taking place at the Royal Courts of Justice, which is one of Britain's highest courts. Now, the case has been brought by two organisations. There's a Palestinian human rights organisation called Al-Haq, and there is the UK-based Global Legal Action Network, or GLAN. Now, the case is against the UK government's Department for Business and Trade. That's the government department which ultimately strikes these arms deals. And it's very simple. The two groups say that Israel's breaking international law in Gaza and that therefore Britain is complicit in that by sending Israel military equipment. Now, Al-Haq says that Britain has a legal and moral obligation to not grant licenses for the sale of British weapons to what it calls a regime that commits atrocities. Israel, of course, pushes back against that and says that it is defending itself. And the British government says that this is a legitimate trade deal, which has been ongoing for many years. Now, the criteria on British arms exports say that if there is a risk, a clear risk that a weapon might be used in a violation of international humanitarian law, then the sale should not go ahead. And that is the argument that these two groups are pushing forward. Now, this is not the first action of its kind. A Dutch court back in February ordered the government stop supplying fighter jets to Israel. Italy and Spain, they've done similar things. They blocked arms exports to Israel as well over fears for international humanitarian law. And of course, this comes after the ruling at the International Court of Justice brought by South Africa, of course, which ruled that Israel may be committing genocide and telling Israel it has to take action to prevent that happening. Now, this court in Britain, this case in Britain, it's not the first time it's been through the courts. It was thrown out by the High Court previously. They've now appealed that the two claimants, and they bumped it up to the International Court of Justice. So that hearing takes place this week. If the court rejects it, then Al-Haq and GLAN could appeal again, but who knows how successful that would be. If the court, however, rules the British government is complicit in breaches of international humanitarian law, then that could really put the British government in a tight spot when it comes to supporting a country it considers an ally.
Okay, the U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is going to China this week, and there's been a lot of interaction over the past month. What are you watching out for?
Yeah, he's off to Shanghai and Beijing. He's meeting his counterpart, Wang Yi, China's foreign minister. It is his second time in China as Secretary of State. The last time he went, don't know if you remember this, it was after that Chinese surveillance balloon was flying over US military sites and the US Air Force shot it down. Mr. Blinken went over to smooth things over, as it were. Now, as ever, when it comes to America and China, it is a delicate diplomatic tightrope. You're talking about the world's two biggest economies. They rely on each other a lot when it comes to trade, but they lock horns over political issues. Now, it's slightly hot at the moment for them because at the G7 meeting of foreign ministers last week, Mr. Blinken said that America would be taking action against China unless it stopped sending weapons technology to Russia. Now, American officials say 90% of the chips that Russia imported last year came from China, and that these are being used in missiles, tanks, planes, etc., which are targeting Ukraine. Now, Russia has been frozen out by many countries, and with its military suffering on the battlefield, it's had to rely on just a few key allies, but China is one of them. So we're expecting Mr. Blinken might announce some sanctions on some Chinese financial institutions because of Chinese kind of tacit support for Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It's not the first warning that we've had about this. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, said this would happen. President Biden has warned about this as well. And then on top of that, we're expecting Mr. Blinken to discuss things like the South China Sea, North Korea, and of course, Taiwan.
Let's stay in China, and we're chatting to Rich Preston, BBC correspondent. The Beijing Auto Show takes place this week. Why is this interesting?
Wow, this is all about electric vehicles, Clarence, and this is huge. Now, China is massive in the EV market. It wants to be the world leader, and it's doing a pretty good job there. Now, organisers say more than 100 new models will be debuted this week, including from 30 international brands, the likes of BMW, Mercedes and Audi. There will also be 41 concept cars featured. Now, there will be the usual big names, you know, like BMW and Audi that I just mentioned. But, of course, centre stage at this show are going to be the Chinese brands like NIO and BYD, Build Your Dreams, which is this year launching a new electric pickup. Now, interestingly, if you look at the map of the event that organisers have released, there's one big international brand which is not there. That's Tesla. That's not quite clear why that is. Maybe Tesla's choosing to steer clear, or maybe China doesn't want Tesla involved in this auto show where it wants to promote its own electric vehicles. So, interesting dynamics there. Now, the Chinese economy is up. It was announced last year it was up 5%, slightly stronger than expected start of the year. And one of the pillars of the economy, according to Xi Jinping, is electric cars. And China's punching well above its European rivals in the EV market. Now, part of this is to do with supply chain. Think about it. If you're building a car in Germany, you need to get the precious metals that make the batteries from somewhere else. And you need to get the metal components for the car from somewhere else. Well, in China, they've pretty much got it end to end, all on their home turf. On top of that, the Chinese government is heavily, heavily subsidizing electric vehicle production in China. So the Beijing Auto Show this year, really a huge opportunity for China to show off its electric vehicles, which it hopes will, frankly, take over the world.
At 16 minutes past 10, a big thank you to Rich Preston, our BBC correspondent, and an interaction, a regular interaction, just after 10 o'clock on a Monday. We'll look at the stuff important to the folks on that side of the globe through the lens of the BBC. It is time for us to talk avocados, and specifically, we are talking about the health benefits of avocado pears.